Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Beginners to stage, beginners to stage.
Hello everyone and welcome to another of our Cry Havoc backstage episodes. In this episode, we are talking about the casting of the show. I am your host, Lori Ann Davis, and with me today I have April Sumner and Amani Zardot. Please, could you introduce yourselves with pronouns and give us some context as to how you are involved in the show? So Amani first.
I'm Amani. I am directing Cry Havoc, Ask Questions Later.
Lovely. And April?
I'm April. I am the executive producer for the series.
And could I have your pronouns?
My pronouns are she, her.
Same, she, her.
Same for me as well. Right, let's get into this then. So the first thing that I want to know is, what's the first thing that you ask yourself or you take into consideration? Where do you start, basically, when you're casting a show this large? Because there are a lot of parts in this.
Oh, gosh. That's hilarious. I actually meant to like go through the list and count how many characters we had, because I was like, that would be a fun thing to do. And I haven't.
I also had those good intentions and did not.
I skimmed out because it's been a year and a half maybe now since we did the casting for it.
Actually, I think it's just about a year. I think we started doing it around April last year.
No, you're right. Yeah. Yeah. Because we started recording in the summer. But yeah. Yeah, from my end, in terms of like when we first go through the casting process in terms of logistically, is we basically assess like how many main characters we have and how many secondary characters we have, which would have been really great. Yeah, to look through the spreadsheet and think back on how many that was. I think it was maybe about like 6 main characters and 6 secondary characters, and then a whole extra list of like tertiary characters.
Yeah.
And essentially, process wise, we basically go through and decide who are our mains, who are our secondary, and then we create this big casting list and we have people audition for key roles. So for the primary and secondary, and we list those in a casting sheet and let people know, hey, these are main roles, these are secondary ones. And then from those auditions, we basically decide those main parts and then reallocate anything that are extra incidental people who are background characters. And sometimes we'll reuse people. A lot of people have been present for like Walla, or we'll use people who weren't quite the right fit for one of the main roles, but who we think still had a really great audition and find another role for them.
Yeah.
Can I ask, how do you differentiate between like a secondary and a main role? Is it literally like number of lines?
We do go through and list the main amount of lines. For me, I tend to go through the show Bible. So the creator and the director, David and Imani, actually have been working through this since the very beginning of the process. Imani was working excellently as a story supervisor, working with David through the creation of it. And they basically break out the main story arcs for characters. And so essentially we take the main characters as people who have their own through story arc. And then the secondary characters are people who influence those, but aren't necessarily carrying their own main arc through the story.
Oh, interesting. Okay. I realized actually what probably should have been my first question was like, what was both of your involvement in casting?
We'll say Imani was a lot heavier in the casting process. I was just like, I know how we start the process in general, but the casting for this show was a lot more Imani.
Yeah, no, that was, I think, super helpful for like breaking down technically how we identify, lead in smaller roles. Yeah, I've never cast anything this big actually before. This was kind of a massive show to cast. But I guess I was very clear in my head from, the work that I did with David leading up to casting on, the size of characters, what we were looking for specifically for each character. I think one of the main things that I was thinking about was, and which I talked to, David and April about, was creating the world of the show and how that influenced the decisions we made, certain choices that we leant towards, like accents, diversity, things like that. Yeah, I wanted to really like widen the pool as much as possible. And April was amazing at just kind of throwing all of the Rusty Quill sort of support my way. So, yeah, we used the whole massive Rusty Quill database. We also used Spotlight, which was super helpful just to kind of expand the search. I also had some links with an organization called MENA Arts UK. And so kind of reached out to them for ethnically specific roles.
Oh, okay. What is MENA?
MENA stands for Middle Eastern North African.
Oh, right.
And they have an organization called MENA Arts UK, which a friend of mine is part of, and I signed up to too. And they're kind of like a spotlight for Middle Eastern British creatives. You have everyone from actors to directors and writers, playwrights, technicians.
Oh, that's a great resource.
I would say your connection and like access suggestion for putting that casting call in MENA was, I think, a huge part of us being able to get this cast the way we wanted it. Because, the casting process definitely like took a while, because I know you guys like decided very early on how to widen the normally very narrow aspects of Roman drama or dramedy. And I think, you and David had some really, really great ideas, particularly your resources that you were able to put into that as well was really helpful.
Thanks. Yeah. Always good to get as many people in as possible. Yeah.
So something that you've kind of mentioned there was, it sounds like you had really strong idea of what you were looking for every character. Is that true? Did I interpret that correctly?
Yeah, I had a pretty clear idea, because otherwise, where do you start? It's so hard.
Well, like, yeah.
Anyone could play any character, you know. Also, I find that if you want to cast with diversity at the heart of it, sometimes it's helpful to like actually make some quite clear decisions when you're going in, so you make sure you are filling those roles the way that you kind of set out to, while obviously keeping in mind that someone else might come along that might be perfect for a role, and then you kind of adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had very specific ideas of the kind of voices that I was looking for. So when I say diversity, there's like multiple levels of diversity, right? For me, it was really important that every character sounded very specific so that the audience knows immediately who they're with. And so that meant that we wanted a diverse range of accents and vocal qualities, vocal characteristics, as well as obviously, you know, an actor's kind of personality that comes through their voice and how they might interpret a character. And on top of that, obviously, like, Rusty Quill has an ethos of, you know, being a very open and inclusive, and diversity in terms of employment is important to them and is something that's really important to me and my work. So yeah, we wanted to make sure that we weren't just casting a white Roman show.
Yeah, there's plenty of those.
Yeah, well, there are enough of those.
I would say this is generally done like very intentional from the beginning. There were several characters that Imani like straight was just like, I really want to make sure that we've got this type of sound for this character to convey, you know, their personality, like particularly the leads with Mark and Octavia. I know Octavia was like one particular too, but Mark was one I think a lot of times that you were just like, he's somebody of status, but also a man of the people. And I think that there's also a lot of really interesting points in like the writing that kind of reflect that as well. Yeah, it was really, I think, some really interesting discussions early on of like how specifically we want to reflect these types of personality traits in the casting decisions. And then yeah, like my thought on it always, like when we started it, was like Hamilton, mm-hmm. where it's like historical, but you go with kind of the best fit for that person and that character. But like when you're casting diversely, you also have to do so with intention. And Imani and David were really great early on with structuring that in such a way that they're like, this is the intention for this character, and this is the type of voice that we want, and the type of, you know, person that we want to reflect, while making sure that we avoid stereotyping. And I think that was the other thing, is like really clear about, you can have all types of voices for a type of person, and trying to make sure that we're balancing that.
Yeah,
totally. Like, I think class was also a big thing when we were thinking about this. Like, there are kind of traditionally some stereotypes within the UK about what class or status someone has based off of their accents. And David and I kind of just wanted to really do away with all of that. So
throw all that out. Yeah,
yeah, just get rid of
that.
That
was something I wasn't familiar with really at all. So I, yeah, you're just like, but this accent has this kind of connotation to it. I was like, does it? It just sounds British. Everything sounds fancy to me.
Do I sound fancy to you? Because my accent is not associated,
yes,
with fanciness.
Absolutely, you do. It's funny because, yeah, you're one early on that they're just like, oh yeah, she's Welsh. And now, like, I hear people make comments about, like, Welsh or Northern accents, and I'm like, all of it sounds posh. I don't.
That's brilliant.
Everybody's fancy and drinking tea. I don't know the difference. So yeah, the class thing is a really, really good point of how we wanted to break those stereotypes as much as like physical stereotypes as we do with like vocal stereotypes. And I definitely had to lean more on Imani for that one, because I'm not familiar with it. And I think a lot of our American audience may not be either. So it's just sort of an interesting fun fact that I think the British audience will pick up on a little bit more.
I certainly appreciated it. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like you've given it like a lot of thought. So it was a very conscious decision then to make Rome a UK diverse accented people, I guess.
Yeah, so that was something else that we talked about quite early on, actually, April and I, because obviously we wanted to create, coming back to what I'd said earlier about the world of the show, obviously ancient Rome was a super multicultural, extremely diverse place in the world at that time, with people from all over the place, who would have been speaking different languages and had different accents. So there was an argument for, you know, really blowing this out and having accents from everywhere. But since Cleopatra and Charmian play such a big part in the series, I thought it was important to kind of create a sort of cultural distinction between the Romans and the Egyptians, as it were. Quote unquote. And so it just made sense after, you know, talking it over to make the kind of Roman world predominantly British, but not limiting it to sort of your traditional London upper class accent, and rather blowing that out and having regional accents from all around the UK, which would then leave room for us to ensure that Cleopatra and Charmian sound very different, you know?
Yeah. I think that was something that I particularly like appreciated, because there was a few times where we had background voices in the Wallow sessions that were American accents, because we have a few, few American people. So there's here's a fun little hint for some people. Try to see if you can spot where the American is in some of the background characters, because... Yeah, even then, trying to show that difference between, like, this is ultimately, you know, it's talking about the Romans and the Egyptians. And so we did want to create diversity amongst those groups while also still showing it's this group of people and culture that's interacting with this other group of people and culture. And I think by spreading out that Roman beyond, like, the UK vocal region would have muddied that distinction, I think, a little bit.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much we want to talk about this, but, like, do you have any thoughts on the casting of Cleopatra? Because that historically has... I know, there's been some controversial castings of Cleopatra.
Yeah, I'm happy to dive in. I feel like it's important to talk
about
it.
We had so many conversations about how to do that, yeah.
We had so many conversations about this.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. What were they like? What was coming up?
Well, I think, you know... I kind of totally get the controversy around Cleopatra's casting generally, as someone who's North African and Asian, super mixed race. You know, Cleopatra is one of those, like, it's like the only queen really that we have that's super powerful and very cool through history, who is not white and has been extremely frustrating growing up and never seeing her portrayed anyway but white. So this was something that we thought a lot about, but obviously... it's complicated because historically, or like actually, Cleopatra was not Egyptian. Her whole ancestral line was Greek. And so she would have been fairly light-skinned and European, right? But yeah, April and I kind of talked this over a lot. And in keeping with also our aim of making sure the show was diverse and that we had a range of accents, and also trying to find a way of making Cleo feel culturally different. So we actually, when we were auditioning, we were looking at actors from Africa, from Europe, from Turkey, from North Africa, from the Middle East. And yeah, so we were quite open-minded about, like, where exactly her accent could come from. I felt like, although it's a show set in ancient Rome, it's also very contemporary. And so I felt like we had room, you know, to make it what worked best for us and for the show. And yeah, ended up going with Lara, who is a half Jordanian, half British actress, which I think is a great choice. I mean, aside from her being a fantastic actress, you know, she basically grew up her whole life half in Jordan, half in the UK. So she has a really good, you know, just totally embedded understanding and feel for both cultures, which is so helpful in her interpretation of Cleopatra, but also in her, under, you know, her total obvious understanding of the scripts and the humor and the nuances of, you know, David's writing. So I don't know, April, was there anything like...
No, I mean, I think honestly, you pretty much like covered everything. Yeah. There was a lot of discussion early on, and basically the only hard line that we had really decided that we didn't want, we wanted to make sure that she wasn't a white British woman.
Yeah.
Because it's been too often that she's been portrayed that way.
It's like, that's been done.
Yeah, it's been done.
Yeah, but it wasn't specific about like where that would be, because we threw out such a wide range of options. But yeah, we mostly tried to take out Europe from the picture and then work from there. I think Lara's audition and Sarah's audition for Charmian came from MENA auditions.
Yeah, so Lara I knew a little bit before we worked together. So I reached out to her personally and asked her if she would like to audition. Sarah Aga actually reached out to me having seen the post we put out on the MENA Arts website. She had actually like auditioned for me once before. I'd seen some of her stuff and liked her a lot, but we hadn't had a chance to work together. So that was nice to have her turn up and be like, hey, I saw this. So yeah, it all turned out great, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So you had these really strong ideas of who the characters were from all the work you'd done on them. Did you have anyone who auditioned where you were like, oh, you've done something very different there, but I like it?
Oh, I'm trying to think back.
I know that Ryan was one that I think had auditioned for Antilles, I want to say, but we actually ended up casting him as Sextus.
Yeah, Ryan auditioned for Gaius.
I think there were some of those where we had auditions where they auditioned for somebody else and we were like, you know what, actually I think we found the person for this character.
Yeah, like it was like absolutely not for this, but you are so good and I can totally see you for this other part. Yeah, Ryan then eventually obviously plays Sextus Pompey. So yeah, we had a few things like that.
Anyone who jumped out at you when they auditioned, you were like, oh yeah, hi, you're this person, I see it.
Oh yeah, Aaron Lewis Cadogan, who plays Antilles. I mean, pretty much the minute I heard his tape, I was like, oh well, yes, you're our Antilles. Yeah, totally.
He does a really excellent impression of Kazim as well.
Yeah.
Also, we tried to avoid pre-casting. That's something that we generally wanted to make sure that with both this and with our previous project Seas, we wanted to expand out. But there was one character that was like cast pretty much from the conception, which was Andy.
Oh, who plays Lepidus.
Lepidus was written like at the time Andy was in mind.
He really was. And I mean, just perfect.
Honestly, speaking as one of the editors, I don't know if ad lib is the right word because he sticks to the script, but he adds extra bits and like cutting them sometimes is heartbreaking because they're so good.
I can't picture anybody else doing that. Like it's just, Lepidus is Andy.
Yeah, it's wonderful, all that extra material that he gives you. It's like, oh, okay, that's perfect. Thank you.
I really hope that he takes that as a compliment. Lepidus is Andy and not like, oh, you think I'm this buffoon?
Oh, I'm sure he would take it as a compliment.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I love our cast so much. I feel like everyone is so, they really nail their parts and I feel so lucky that, you know, because it was a complicated schedule also to work. It's a big show with a big cast. The schedule was complicated and I just feel really lucky that it all worked out.
We only technically finished recording last week.
A whole year later, almost.
That's made me think that you were casting fictional versions of real people or people who have existed in a lot of cases, like Mark Antony, Cleopatra. Was that something that you were taking into consideration at all? Or sounds like maybe not?
Yeah, I mean, it was such a long time ago. Like, how do we even know what they actually were like specifically? We don't really know.
Yeah, yeah.
There were some specifics that we took from history. Like, obviously, you know, Mark Antony, we know that he put out all this propaganda about himself. You know, the Roman coins with his profile and he has this, like, massive neck. So, we know that he wanted to portray himself as this very sort of masculine, muscular, strong man of the people type. And there are stories on the other hand about Gaius being sick on the battlefield or like, you know, having to sit out battles because he had the flu or something. So, you know, we like took those things and we're like, I think David took those things and we're like, cool, let's take these like stereotypes and then let's see how we can make them more interesting. So Mark in the show feels like, you know, Kazim has this gorgeous, like deep, very masculine voice. And Harry, who plays Gaius, has this lovely, kind of super versatile voice that's not quite as deep as Kazim.
I guess more musical?
Very musical and super versatile. And anyway, so we took things from history, but in the show, it was important to me and David that we break away from those stereotypes, as April was saying earlier. So yes, there are aspects of Mark in the show where he seems quite macho, possibly, and all like, you know, wanting to charge into battle and all of that. And on the other hand, is actually extremely sensitive. And similarly for Gaius, like, you know, kind of leaning into the very conscientious, slightly nerdy brains of the operation, but also has an ability to be pretty tough himself, to not give anything away.
I think Fulvia is a really good example of like how we did kind of reflect that stereotype a little bit more, because Fulvia, like, historically, is just this really amazing, like, powerful woman, and fascinating to actually, like, read about and delve into the various things that she did to actually influence power in Rome in those early stages. And I think Beth does that voice fantastically, of just very regal and commanding and intentional, and she terrifies me. She's such the sweetest person, but yeah, there's something about her vocal performance particularly that just feels like, you feel that kind of like power and intent.
Totally. Yeah Another like super versatile actor. Yeah, she does amazing things with her voice.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have anything historically about Quintus, but I did just want to like say that Ben's portrayal of Quintus in the theater is hilarious and a delight. And I think just like his dynamic with Sarah, so the Octavia and Quintus scenes and the theater scenes and stuff, are some of my favorite for feeling very modern.
Yeah.
In that setting.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's a fun series, and it's been a fun series to work on. And I really appreciate the work that Amadia David and the cast did with really like bringing it to life. And just, it's such an expansive project, and it's been so like difficult with so many people over such a long period of time. And the cast on this really, really pulled it out of the park.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Your producer senses, April, are amazing, because that's such a lovely out. And we are just about coming to time. So I'm going to use that.
Perfect.
Thank you both. I mean, I feel like basically what I did was sat here and asked you to just tell me about meetings you had like a year and a half, 2 years ago. So tell me about those meetings. And you have done so very, very beautifully. Thank you. Well, thanks for coming backstage with us, listener. That's it from us. We will say goodbye. And I will definitely see you on the next one. And who knows who I'll be joined with then?
Only the slate can tell.
Yes, only the sheet that I have open in the other tab can tell me, but I'm not going to look. So have a lovely day, everyone, and goodbye.
Bye. Bye.
Backstage at Cry Havoc is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Sharealike 4.0 International License. It is directed by Amani Zardot, produced by Laurie Ann Davis, with executive producers Alexander J. Newell and April Sumner. This episode was edited by Laurie Ann Davis and Catherine Vernella. Thanks for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.